You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello, everybody. I'm James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, November the 7th. We're going to give you the most nuanced commentary based upon what happened this Tuesday, that we possibly can. And Keith, if you'll allow it, I'm going to take the majority of this segment to kind of just set my opening monologue, and then if we can give them an hour, half as good as the pre-show dinner we had tonight, where we really unpack this thing, they're going to be in for, I think, some eye-opening and thought-provoking commentary. But let me first begin by telling you that on Tuesday, I went to the polls and I voted to re-elect Donald Trump as President of the United States. We have covered Donald Trump, obviously, for the last 4 years, really 5 years, I think, in the most nuanced way possible. We have been very even-keeled, giving him credit when credit was due and taking him to task when he underperformed. And, of course, he has been disappointing to us in many ways. But I voted for him, of course, for the hope of denying the sanctimonious freaks in the media their joy. The Republican Party is no friend of ours. It needs to be destroyed. And if Trump does, in fact, go on to be removed from the White House, perhaps we can continue that important work. We have our people, our nation, has seen a steady decline over the course of the last 4 years, even under Trump. That decline will continue unabated, even if he somehow pulls this off. But it's going to be much worse and worse much more quickly with Kamala Harris as president. No, Donald Trump did not reverse the trajectory of America. We all know that. He has said some things we agree with. He has praised Robert E. Lee. He has defended the names of Confederates on American Army bases. He has mentioned the ill effects of critical race theory, the 1619 Project. He has honored our heroes like Christopher Columbus. And you say, well, James, that doesn't change anything. That didn't change anything. To which I would reply, probably not, perhaps not. But there is value in having a sitting president positively reinforce those ideas in the public consciousness. If that's all we had with Trump, we don't even have that anymore. I didn't have a choice of voting for a pro-white candidate on Tuesday. I had a choice between Donald Trump and Biden Harris, and I made the choice that I felt was the most responsible for my people. I say all that to say this. There are some friends of ours, fellow pro-white advocates, who are reveling in the apparent demise of Donald Trump tonight, and I have simply never found it wise to cut off my nose to spite my face. We must always choose our actions based upon the answer to one simple question. Is this good for our people? A Biden-Harris administration will not be good for our people. We did a six-hour live election night broadcast on this network, and when we went off the air at midnight, Donald Trump had this thing all but wrapped. Of course, now the media wants you to believe that only the states that had trouble announcing the timely results just so happened to be the exact states, the critical states that Trump needed to win and was winning before magically hordes of lost Biden ballots were found. Voting counting stopped completely in these states. Of course, we're talking about Pennsylvania. We're talking about Nevada. We're talking about Georgia. It picked up again around 4 a.m., and don't you know, it benefited Biden in a way that was nearly unprecedented. Clearly, there is some fraud taking place. Now, is there enough fraud taking place that it would turn the rudder of this election? Well, we don't know yet, do we? Where is it taking place? Where you would imagine it would be taking place. In Atlanta, in Philadelphia, in Detroit, in Milwaukee. Now, there has been some evidence of dead people voting and some Trump ballots being found burned or drowned or otherwise murdered. Mail-in ballots are, of course, a huge problem. Of course, it's much more easy to manufacture and manipulate mail-in votes, especially when they're allowed to come in after an election. The Democrats always let Republicans report their vote first in order to figure out the margin they need to overcome. And then those votes are found. We saw this with Roy Moore in Alabama. He was winning that race handily against Doug Jones, who thankfully was unseated this week. But the last votes to come in were from the blackest areas of Birmingham. And don't you know, Roy Moore ended up losing that. Okay. Now, lots of evidence of shenanigans. Again, we can talk about the fact that in some heavily Democratic precincts, you had nearly 100% of registered voters going in. In Belgium, for instance, you are required by law, mandatory voting. And yet even in a state where you are forced to vote, they only manage about 87% of voters. So all of this stuff needs to be looked at. Of course, there are some very suspicious things. For instance, so many votes that came in that show you that Biden was outperforming senators. You had a lot of votes where they were just voting for Biden, but not voting for any of the down ballot races. Obviously, the mail dumps, the mail-in votes with 100% Biden margins and on and on. So, and also, the House GOP lost zero races. They didn't lose any races. A lot of things there that are obviously sketchy. So what's the remedy? Well, Trump's filing the lawsuits. He's doing it now, and he's been doing it. But the courts are just as criminally corrupt as the media and these Democratic-run cities and states. Everything I've seen so far has been immediately slapped down. There was one case that Donald Trump was able to get a judge to issue an injunction on, one lawsuit, and they completely defied the court order. So it's not the same as Bush-Gore 2000, where you have one state. County, really, that they're looking at in a single state, 500 votes. It's multiple states with multiple different kinds of fraud, but you're going to have to start winning some court cases. And if it goes to SCOTUS, does SCOTUS give us any help? Well, Keith Alexander is going to answer that in just a second. But the establishment can get away with this. Why can the establishment get away with this? Well, they have nothing to fear, of course. People who think like them, people who want what they want, they own the media, they own the courts, they own many state governments, academia, and on and on. Hypothetically speaking, what would deter the left from brazenly stealing an election? Keep in mind, the media, the courts, the Democratic-led cities are all criminally corrupt. Trump only has his voters. And what makes the Trump voters different? They're the only people in this whole play who adhere to the rule of law. So you know you can do anything you want to them and they'll take it. Trump voters aren't going to terrorize American cities like the Biden voters have been doing all year. And nor should they. I'm not recommending that. I'm not advocating for that. But the fact does remain, pushovers get rolled. And if your enemy knows he can count on you to accept whatever outcome he has in mind for you, then you will be defenseless to stop it. That's where the Trump voters are right now. I laughed watching election night coverage. CNN reporters were hiding inside a ballot counting site in Arizona, scared to go out, they said. They were scared. They had to plan an exit strategy because there was about 100 Trump voters in the parking lot waving flags. Now, you know, they said Biden supporters wouldn't do this. No, they absolutely burned cities down. That's what they've done. Okay, so maybe there's rampant voter fraud. Well, prove it, Trump. We'll see you in court. A judge, of course, cares more about being on the right side of history and continuing to be invited to the right cocktail party, so no dice there. Really, the only thing that the president could hope to do is that some form of the military would back him up, a truly radical notion, and I don't see it playing out this way. But as Nick Griffin wrote, you can give up on the now totally discredited idea. It was always a discredited idea that there's an electoral path to salvation for our people and that the nations can be painlessly turned around. Now we must look that proper effort can thus be poured into saving individuals and families and building communities and institutions that will actually work for us. The electoral path, as Nick said earlier this year on this show, may be finished, but that doesn't mean our people are finished, and we need to now give them realistic and truly useful things to do. That is, of course, Keith Alexander, if Trump is removed from the White House, and there is still the narrowest of paths by some miracle that he may be able to stay on. I'm going to turn it entirely over to Keith to answer all of that when we come back, and come back we will. Great lineup tonight of guests who's going to help figure this out. We're going to sort it out together with Greg Johnson of Countercurrents, Jason Kuna, Sam Dixon. That's three heavyweights. They're coming your way tonight. We'll be right back.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
There's a little hotel called the Shady Rest at the Junction.
Petticoat Junction.
It is run by Kate. Come and be her guest at the Junction.
Petticoat Junction.
And that's Uncle Joe. He's a moving kind of slow at the Junction. Petticoat Junction.
All right, well, that may be where we're heading in this country, Keith. But, all right, listen, Keith, so many things to unpack tonight, so many different aspects that we could get into, things that have happened since Tuesday, things that are unfolding in real time, even as we broadcast this program live this very moment. We did our best to brainstorm this thing at supper earlier tonight. Where would you like to begin?
Well, let's go at the beginning, okay? This was never intended to be. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good now.
This election was never going to be contested as a normal election where you try to change the hearts and minds of voters to vote for you, at least on the part of the Democrats. The Democrats knew that Joe Biden had some pluses and some minuses. The pluses were he was an amiable-looking old fuddy-duddy, okay? Not threatening like Kamala Harris or Cory Booker or any number of other candidates they had in that field. So consequently, they wanted him to be at the top of the ticket because he was not going to be the type of person that people that were typically Democrats would vote against because he scared them, okay? Remember, it was James Clyburn, kind of the grand old man of the Democratic Party in South Carolina, that gave Biden his big push to the presidency in the nomination process by delivering South Carolina. Up until that point, he couldn't draw flies, Biden, that is, couldn't draw flies. He was way back in the field. But they decided, the big shots, the higher-ups in the Democratic Party, that they were that's going to be the face that they travel under. But then, as we got closer and closer to the election, it became apparent to them, and I think it was apparent to them all along, that he just didn't have the mental acuity to impress people in debates or even in campaign whistle stops and things like this, where he would campaign and make speeches. He kept making laughable gaffes about that, but they were all right with that. They didn't even try to get him out on the campaign trail.
And why is that?
And that's because their plan was from the beginning to cheat their way to success. They know that absentee ballots and mail-in ballots are the perfect vehicle for voter fraud. And, you know, that, for example, in Memphis, where I am, black preachers will give out, like, they'll have in the vestibule before you go into the sanctuary a card table up there, and they'll have a bunch of absentee ballots there. And they'll tell people to sign those, put their address on it, and then don't worry their little head about it. They'll make sure that it gets voted right. Well, that's what they're doing, and that's what they intended to do, and that was their path to victory. They planned to lie, cheat, and steal from the very beginning to win this election, and that's exactly what they did. They always let, like James said, the Republicans go first, find out what their numbers are so they know how much cheating they've got to involve themselves in, and that's what they did. And they're coming in, you know, like you said.
Let me ask you, why was it that the cities in the states, the only cities in the states, the state of Florida, for instance, has 11 million voters. They had everything buttoned up, everything reported within 2 hours on Tuesday. But Atlanta, Georgia, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, these all have common denominators, Detroit, Michigan. They couldn't get their act together. They're still counting votes a week later.
Well, part of it's incompetence on the people that run those cities and the electoral apparatus in those cities. But also, it works to their advantage. It's like the Al Franken, Norm Coleman senatorial race in Minnesota in 2008. Remember? Norm Coleman, the Republican, was ahead on the end of the election evening, but Al Franken and the Democrats kept asking for recounts and recounts. And with every recount, lo and behold, they would find another catch of absentee and mail-in ballots until, I think it was maybe about 10 recounts until they finally got Al Franken over the top. Norm Coleman was a typical mainstream Republican who was too feckless and too polite, supposedly, to challenge them. And as a result, we got Al Franken in the Senate until he finally got Me Too'd out of his Senate position because he's a typical, casting couch Hollywood character. And that's what got him, to walk the plank. Well, they're doing the same thing here. They now know what they've used all sorts of techniques for this, and they are experts at it. They don't see it as a weakness. They see cheating on mail-in and absentee ballots to be their ace in the hole, their ultimate tactic to win, and that's what they've done. Leo DeRocher, the Jewish manager of the New York Yankees and Chicago Cubs at one point or another, said, "Nice guys finish last." That is that's exactly what's happening in our presidential politics now.
A great article we're going to put up at the our website next week entitled "Don't Bring a Republican to a Street Fight." And there's a lot of truth in that. And
the one thing that I do like about Trump is that he is a street fighter, and he's taking it to them now.
Anybody else would have conceded by now.
Yeah, believe me. Romney, McCain.
They, of course, ran to lose to begin with, but even in spite of that, they certainly would have conceded by now.
But see, he's come out strong, and he's showing that he has a, he's not going to not show up in the street fight. He is going to go for it. And I think if nothing else, it's going to show America and the world just how corrupt the Democratic Party is.
And as our friend Rich quite rightly points out, the so-called pandemic was used as a pretext to issue the mail-in ballots. Such ballots are an invitation to steal votes.
It gives certain segments of the Democratic Party electorate, i.e. blacks, another excuse for not voting like normal people do, going to the poll on election day, or the next most likely scenario, going to some poll in person in the early voting period. No, this was going to be used as the grand excuse for relying on absentee ballots and mail-in ballots, and they did. And I mean, they can conjure up any amount that they want, and it puts a burden on the party that's cheated against, in this part the Republicans, to have the burden of proof to prove exactly how they did this. And of course, everything they're doing in terms of mail-in voting and absentee voting is done in secret. Remember, they would run everybody out, say they were closing down the polls, and then the poll workers for the Democratic Party stayed in there and were processing, supposedly, all of these.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you actually a moment ago. So why was it in just these four cities, or predominantly these four cities? It was much more widespread than that, of course, but these are the cities everybody's focusing on, Philadelphia, Atlanta. Only these cities, they reported updated vote counts at about 4:30 in the morning every morning. They could only count votes at 4:30 in the morning, it seems.
Well, that's because they don't want prying eyes to be looking at
even
what they're
doing.
Even
though they had the Trump poll watchers, they absolutely banned them in Philadelphia. Even with a court order, they wouldn't let them in. I saw one guy with binoculars trying to peer in at a ballot. That's not going to work. And then...
This is Banana Republic stuff. I mean, Guatemala would be embarrassed to have an election run like this presidential election has been won by the electoral officials in places like Philadelphia and Atlanta. That's just all there is to it. It was the cheat was in from the very beginning. That's why they didn't bother to trot Joe Biden out for a lot of press conferences and a lot of
campaign appearances
and stops and whatnot, because they knew early on that they were going to rely on cheating to win this election.
Greg Johnson, coming up in the second hour, wrote a great article there at Countercurrents. Is America a banana republic now? We're going to ask him that, get his thoughts on that. Of course, Jason Kuna, more of the same. Sam Dixon, though, we're going to ask Sam Dixon where we go now. And we have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, campaigns come and go, candidates come and go. Our people are eternal, and our people will endure. We will be back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden declared victory in the 2020 election Saturday as results are still being disputed by President Donald Trump. Biden said he is, quote, honored and humbled by the trust the American people have placed in me and Vice President-elect Harris, referring to his running mate, Senator Kamala Harris. President Trump responded in a statement saying, quote, we all know why Joe Biden is rushing to falsely pose as the winner and why his media allies are trying so hard to help him. They don't want the truth to be exposed. He added, quote, legal votes decide who is president, not the news media. The results of Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin are still being contested by the Trump campaign or are so close that they have not been called as of Saturday. Georgia is headed for a recount. Lawmakers are calling for a full audit in Pennsylvania, and court cases there and elsewhere, primarily centering around mail-in ballots, are playing out. USA Radio News is not calling the race until all legal challenges are resolved. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Tax Talk with Hollywood legend Bob Eubanks.
You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-832-1594. 800-832-1594.
Ada has re-strengthened into a tropical storm in the Caribbean Sea and is heading for Cuba. The storm re-strengthened after moving offshore Friday from Central America and is tracking for central Cuba. It's expected to turn north towards Florida on Sunday and could hit the Keys and South Florida late Sunday into Monday. Hurricane and storm surge watches are already in effect for the coast of southern Florida and the Florida Keys. Speaking at a press conference in Philadelphia, President Trump's personal lawyer Rudy Giuliani says the Trump campaign will continue to dispute the election results in Pennsylvania. Alleging that Republican observers were not allowed to watch the counting of ballots, Giuliani said the campaign would be taking further legal action.
And we have no way of knowing, because we were deprived of the right to inspect, if a single one of those ballots is legitimate. That is unheard of. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. And we will be bringing an action challenging that. And I emphasize to you, It's only one of the many other infirmities in this election.
This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, so many important talking points that we need to cover tonight. It's really, this is probably, perhaps, the most difficult show in 16 years for me to present because there's so much content I want to share with you tonight, so many ideas that you need to be pondering. So in no particular order, let me just tell you this. I think that the work Trump has done over the course of the last 4 years to thoroughly discredit the establishment media has real value for our people. And whatever work he can do now, right now, and for however many weeks this goes on, whatever work he can do to erode the trust in the rest of the system will also help us going forward. Now, I want to say something to the 70 million people who voted for Donald Trump. I think it was incredible that the Trump voters could withstand this 4 years of psychological torture and trauma, the psychological conditioning being put on by the media incessantly to vote for Trump in greater numbers than they did in 2016. That is absolutely incredible. It goes to show how much the media is impotent. I think Trump won re-election. I do. I could be wrong. I think he won. I will hopefully find out whether or not it was a legitimate election or not. It doesn't look that it has been. But no matter what, the fact that he got 70 million votes just goes to show there is a lot of people out there who can think for themselves, and that's what they're doing. Now, in some fanciful, unlikely situation, if this gets to the Supreme Court and they rule in state after state that it was fraudulent and it was a fraudulent election, there is a mechanism. Probably a moot point, but something to tuck away in your back pocket. If this goes to the House, Trump should win. Each state delegation gets one vote. Republicans control 26 delegations. There is something to be said for that. There is a mechanism in place if the election is thrown out. Now, I have to say this, though, Keith. We do need to mention this hour. We do need to mention this hour. Trump can also be blamed to large degree for what happened. He lost the 5% of the white working class voters to gain an infinitesimally small amount of non-white voters. He lost the Rust Belt because he didn't even ask them to vote for him. If that platinum plan was half of $1 trillion for job stimulus for small businesses and small business loans for the working class, whites need not apply, he would have won. And he would have won in such a way that they couldn't have cheated themselves out of it. He let loose all those violent blacks out of prison. This cost him the election, if we are to believe that these results are in fact true. And they're so tone deaf on Fox News. I mean, on Fox News, they're bragging that he expanded the Republican Party by taking his black vote from 9% to 12% or whatever it is. But he lost the white vote and he lost the election. If, again, listen, I'm not arguing in this moment whether or not it's fraudulent or not, or if it was fraudulent enough to cost him the election. I'm just saying, if he'd have gotten that extra 5% of whites that he got in 16, it wouldn't have mattered.
He would have won.
Yeah, so this is where we're at, and that does need to be said. However, once again, we thank President Trump for discrediting the media. We hope that what is happening now will further erode the trust of the American people in this corrupt system that is seeking to destroy the founding stock of this nation. So we'll take whatever we can get in terms of that as we go forward. But Trump himself cannot be let off the hook for the situation, the predicament he finds himself in tonight.
Well, if there's one lesson to be learned from this by Trump and by Republicans, it is never trust advice given to you by Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner was the secret Italian hand behind the prison reform
movement. I don't know
movement.
If it was an Italian hand.
Okay, yeah. Maybe a Hebraic hand. But anyway, whatever he was doing, getting him to pass criminal justice reform allowed large numbers of blacks who still, even if he went from 9% of the black vote to 12%, that's 3 percentage points, 3 percentage points, I mean 3/10 of percentage points on what you would call the, the black electorate totally is 13%, 13 to 14%. in order to get a 3% bump of 13%, he gave up 5% of whites who were disaffected, probably people that think like the listeners to this show, who were absolutely turned off by his platinum plan. Now, who came up with the platinum plan for blacks with all these set-asides for historically black colleges and universities and money and enterprise zones and whatnot? None other than Jared Kushner himself again. So Jared Kushner is the author in an important way of Trump's defeat, if it winds up being a defeat, in this election.
Here's all he had to do, Keith. Keith, this is all he had to do. He didn't have to pander to us like he pandered to everyone else except us. All he had to do, you know these litanies Trump would go into. This is what I'm going to do for, and this is his own words, this is how he would put it, the gays, the blacks, the Hispanics. All he had to do was throw in, and this is what I'm going to do for the whites. And all he had to do is say for the white middle class in Michigan and in Pennsylvania, this is what I'm going to do for you. Just speak our name. That's all he had to do. Or at one point this year, just one point, say it's okay to be white. That's all he had to do. Just one sentence this year would have kept that 5%.
Well, I don't know if it would have that, but what I did, I think with math, 5% of 60% is a heck of a lot more than 3% of 13%. You know, do the math. That's what he traded. He traded his inheritance for a mess of pottage.
Well, he thought that they had nowhere else to go, and he's right, but they did have one place to go, and they stayed home.
Well, I tell you what it is. He's bought into this mainstream thinking that he's got to reach out to these people. Look, if they are not willing to vote for you based on your policies, then they're really not a part of the coalition you ought to be depending on. That's one thing, okay?
We can't simultaneously say this, though, Keith, and this is what we mentioned this tonight earlier. We can't simultaneously say Trump lost the election because of fraud, and Trump also lost the election because he didn't reach out to more.
Well, I tell you what you could say.
How would we put it?
He lost the election because of blacks, okay? One, he didn't get enough black support in return for his platinum plan. It didn't turn out as planned. He disaffected 5% of the 60% of the electorate that is white. By doing that, that's one thing.
Do you think that 5% of whites that he lost had voted for him? Are you saying that they couldn't have possibly cheated that much to overturn it?
They can cheat. Their cheating options are unlimited in the Democratic Party. But then again, most of this cheating occurs in black urban precincts. That's where it has happened forever and ever. And, of course, nobody in the Republican Party is going to admit to that. Nobody in the Democratic Party is going to admit to that. But that's like the 800-pound gorilla sitting on your living room couch. It's hard to miss. Every election, you know, they have a saying in Memphis that said the people that don't believe in life after death should come to Memphis on election day, okay? Memphis is the city in Tennessee that has a majority of blacks. No other city in Tennessee has that. And how blacks vote in Memphis will never affect whether Tennessee is a red or a blue state. It's always going to be a red state.
So you said they couldn't have cheated enough in Tennessee to turn it blue.
Right, yeah. There's just one city where you have that anomaly. It's part of the Delta, and that's why. Memphis is part of the Delta.
Well, I'm getting here information from one of our friends that apparently these big city Democrats, these big Democratic cities, sent the mail-in ballots to everyone on the roll. Now, we haven't verified that, but we did hear it on Fox. Republican cities didn't do that. What you're supposed to do is request the mail-in ballot by a certain time, and in the Democratic cities, they sent them out to all their voters.
Well, look.
Preemptively.
In the last election, my mother, who is in a nursing home, I went to get an absentee ballot for her. We wound up not using it because, quite frankly, her mind was too far gone at that point to really make a sensible choice. But while I was there waiting for it, and they sternly told me I could only get one absentee ballot, I saw a black woman.
How many did you expect to get?
Well, look, the black woman in back of me got 50. And I asked her, and I asked the election official, I said, why does this person get 50 and I only get one? She said, well, she's the secretary for some church or something.
Oh, there it is.
See, that's it. What they do, they put these things out on a card table.
You saw that with your own eyes and ears.
Yeah, I did. That's what happened.
You can believe the media or Keith's lying eyes.
Yeah, but see, this is, that's why I say it's not that the Democratic Party has moved far beyond ever being embarrassed by that or thinking it's a problem that needs to be fixed. It's now a positive asset in their arsenal of electoral tools to get their people elected. And that's what happened in this election, I think, because the voter fraud or the prospects of voter fraud are all in heavily black majority cities. They're not out in the country somewhere. They're not in rural areas. They aren't in white areas. They are in urban black cities.
Well, you said something, too, that should be pointed out. Trump had better fight and fight like a junkyard dog, because what happens to Trump if they blow him out of the White House?
Yeah, if they get him out of the White House, he's going to be behind bars. That's what they intend to do. I guarantee you that's exactly what they intend. They're not forgive and forget type of people. Because he caused them so much trouble, they are going to, you know, they're going to have the pitchforks and the, you know, the bonfire burning going after him. So he needs to win this. And he needs to win it because we need to shine a flashlight into this dark corner and let all the cockroaches run off. Because this is the electoral fraud election. And I'm so glad that we've got a fighter in Donald Trump who's not going to just sit back and take it like so many other Republicans have in the past.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Then we're going to get to an all-star trio of guests and much more tonight. Our first show since the election. Halloween seems like it was a month ago. I swear to you, what a week. We'll be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, you're in the political cesspool, aren't we all tonight? Look, what we're saying here is there was rampant fraud.
It was planned.
And, yes, pre-planned. And Donald Trump made tactical errors that also
contributed to his loss.
Correct. Now, let me tell you this, Keith. Let me put it this way. Joe Biden finished in fourth place in the Iowa caucus. He then finished in fifth place in the New Hampshire primary with 8% of the vote in the Democratic primary up in New Hampshire. But we're supposed to believe that he managed to receive more votes. He is a completely uninspiring candidate, even to his own base. More votes than any other presidential candidate in the history of the United States without ever drawing more than a dozen people to any given rally. He also apparently received 100% of the vote of those aged 150 years or older. But listen, this is the truth. And well, that's true too. But America, think about this. America regularly, wantonly, and illegally practices in regime changes all over the world, all the time.
Why should we be surprised
exactly,
if they do it in America?
It's a conspiracy, though, to believe that they might have been a hidden hand involved in Trump's fortunes this week. The Democrats have said that they planned to add several states to gain permanent control of the Senate, add enough justices to the Supreme Court to keep it a leftist legislative body forever, and abolish the filibuster. Now, we know that because they said it. But in light of that, who among us thinks that they would have given a second thought to playing by the rules or not when it comes to counting votes?
Look, if you're honest, you would think that the black part of their electoral map is a drawback because they cheat. They've turned that lemon into lemonade. That is how they are riding to victory in this election, by all those suddenly discovered absentee and mail-in votes that have supposedly come in and have turned the tide. And they also are aided by political correctness. If you dare to question that, that makes you a racist. So they have really got the things cooking. They didn't ever intend for Joe Biden to go out there and win the race fair and square by changing hearts and minds. No, they were going to rely on electoral fraud.
It's a color revolution. We have a
it's
color
a,
yeah, revolution.
It's a color
tell
revolution.
People what a color revolution is.
A color revolution is what we're undergoing right now, where the marginal people and whatnot, not the majority of the American people, are empowered and the government works for them. Now they are the people who are going to be the beneficiaries of governmental largesse. They're, you know, the Republicans didn't promise white Gentiles anything, okay, except smaller government, which means you don't get any goodies. But they knew that this would not appeal to black voters or to certain other types of voters. So what they did was they came up with a platinum plan for the black community. They had some other plan. I forgot what they called it for the Hispanics. Because these people expect to get goodies from the government. And they did that. And quite frankly, it offended some parts of the white electorate that normally votes Republican, and they didn't vote. We know of several people that have did not vote for Trump. We tried to tell them that they needed to vote for Trump. This election was too important, but you gave up 5% of 60%, that's what whites are of the electorate, in return for 3% of 13% of the, that's the increase over the last election in black voters voting for Trump.
Well, here's another problem, Keith. Out of the votes that Joe Biden got, 54% of his votes were white votes, okay? So you have this is the problem you have with the whites. We're the only ones who won't take our own side in an argument. I mean, there's never been that many whites voting for a guy or for a party or whatever, whoever's controlling Joe, that are absent. Look, I get the virtue signaling. I don't get it. I understand why they're doing it. They want to be accepted by society. They want to be pat on the head. But people who would actively go out and vote for things that are going to make their children's lives and the lives of their future progeny so much worse. I mean, that is
those
illness.
People
is
have not
sick.
Been paying attention, James. See, the people, the white people that voted 54% for Joe Biden have not been paying attention to Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
Not 54%. Obviously, Trump won the overall share of the white vote.
It's just 54% of all the people that voted for Biden
were white. Correct.
White. Okay. Now, let me just say this, though. See, this is what has happened. We have people that have not listened to Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They don't realize that there's no longer such a thing as a good white and a black, bad white. All whites are bad. That's what systemic racism, institutional racism, and white privilege put together account for. They tell you that you can have a NAACP membership plaque up on your wall, a Golden Circle donor award from the United Negro College Fund. Doesn't matter. You're still a bad person because you're white, and therefore you are the type of person that is a proper object of being hated and being punished.
All right. Now, I will say this again. I think our coverage of Trump has been very fair over the years. I get emails from people saying you're too in the tank for Trump. I get emails from people saying you're too hard on Trump. We've always tried to be honest, honest based upon our honest opinion. But there's no doubt about it. The rot had continued under Trump. It would have continued if he was reelected, or if by some miracle he can outmaneuver what's happening to him right now. But I read a story this week where someone was fired from their job for saying boys have a penis. I mean, this is where we're at in America. You got fired for that. That's hate speech now. So I'm not shilling for Trump. He is a big disappointment in a lot of ways. I think he did add value. Again, I will repeat myself by telling you that there was value in how he eviscerated the media and laid bare their treachery. There's value in the fact that you have a sitting president that will honor people like Lee and Columbus. But at the same time, he left a lot to be desired, God knows. I just preferred him over Jake Tapper and Keith Olbermann, who are the ones who won the election, apparently, this week, along with Van Jones, Keith, the Marxist, the white-hating Marxist Jones, the black commentator for CNN. Listen to Van Jones today crying, this grown man crying because he's so excited that Joe Biden won.
It's well, it's easier to be a parent this morning. It's easier to be a dad. It's easier to tell your kids character matters. It matters. Tell them the truth matters. Being a good person matters. And it's easier for a whole lot of people. If you're Muslim in this country, You don't have to worry if the president doesn't want you here. If you're an immigrant, you don't have to worry if the president's going to be happier to have babies snatched away or send dreamers back for no reason. This is vindication for a lot of people.
All right, so that's the communist, the white-hating zealot Van Jones putting on a show here, and I think that's nothing but a show. Surely to God, nobody would cry one way or another over something like this, but that's where we're at. And then, of course, its cohorts in the media are celebrating the fact that Kamala Harris, man, she checked just about every box. We have the first black Asian female vice president. That's the way they're describing her.
Well, look, I mean, the black part of her heritage is less than 50%. There's no doubt about that. Her father, who was nominally black, had an awful lot of cream in the coffee, as they used to say on the Jeffersons TV show. But people need to realize the Democrats, I mean, their dishonesty in this election is almost stupefying. They never intended for Joe Biden to cross the finish line.
What do you think about Van Jones, though?
Well, I thought that Van Jones was the typical insincere Marxist that he actually is. He's a cultural Marxist. And he's a black racist. But let me tell you, the thing about Joe Biden, just had this bland persona that didn't scare a lot of people. And South Carolina proved that he was attractive to black people for a white guy, okay? So they got him in. But to pacify their left flank, the people that are the most radical on the left, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Mitt Romney.
And people like that. Kamala Harris is his running mate. Well, I guarantee you, even Joe Biden has agreed he was just going to serve for one term. He's not going to serve for half of one term, I predict. He's going to, either through the 25th Amendment or something else, he's going to be nudged aside, and we're going to have Kamala Harris as president of the United States. That's like having Patrice Lumumba from the Congo back in the
Winnie
early
Mandela.
60s. Yeah, as the president of the United States. And she is going to go full tilt boogie anti-white.
Here's the thing.
That's what she's going to do when she gets in.
Trump was never the answer for our people. We wanted to buy more time, and we knew at best that was what we would have. In a way, if it goes down this way, if they do allow the fraud to continue unabated and he is removed, it's a relief in some ways. We can get back to the serious work of building for our people And that was something that Trump was never going to do. He was not an explicitly pro-white candidate. He wouldn't even mention the name of whites. He said a lot of things that whites like, and we're certainly going to lose having a sitting president that would issue a proclamation honoring Christopher Columbus. And there is some things about that, the 1619 and critical race theory. He had had some good moments. He has said some things that no one else will say. We appreciate that, but he was not the solution for our people.
Look, I'll tell you why I supported Trump. The bottom line, I thought he would irritate and enrage the left to such an extent that you would start seeing liberal enclaves like California seceding from the Union. And if they did, I'd say don't let the door hit you in the posterior when you leave.
He was a fighter.
And that would have made that would have cleared the path for a country that we could control. That wouldn't always be up for grabs at the next election.
Well, and of
But of course, that hasn't happened. But I do like the fact that Trump is a fighter, and he's going to fight them right to the end.
I hope he does. I hope this is not over. I hope I'll continue to hope and do what I can to help him, but which is not much at this point. And I love the fact that he was always at nuclear war with the media. But we're going to turn it over to our guests, Greg Johnson, Jason Kuna, Sam Dixon.